Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. It's another view from the Bland Stands. Friend of the program, Evan Bland from the Omaha World Herald, is joining us to talk all things Huskers. We're going to dive into the valiant loss in Columbus at Ohio State. We're going to talk about UCLA. We're going to talk about anything and everything that you care about when it comes to Nebraska football. But first, make sure you go to cpbeef.com and check out the spread of certified Piedmontese steaks, ribs, ground beef, roasts, tri-tip roast, pot roast, all the roasts.
The flat irons are great.
The flat irons are beautiful. The fillets, all kinds of beef, all kinds of steak. And when you do, you can get 25% off any eligible item using the promo code COMMONFAN. All one word, COMMONFAN. Again, that's cpbeef.com. Certified Piedmontese is premium Nebraska beef raised and grazed in the beautiful Sand Hills region of the state. You can also stop by your local Mercado butcher shop in Lincoln or Omaha and get all the fresh cuts that you can see on cpbeef.com, as well as some hot food to go. So make sure and do that, and make sure to use the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, when you visit cpbeef.com. So, also, when you go to cpbeef.com, you can get that shipment right to your front door anywhere across all 50 states. I can't think of a better deal, guys. Nebraska beef right to your front door, no matter where you live.
Cheap meat.
You're missing
discounted
out.
Meat.
Well, that makes it sound like it's not quality meat.
Terrible, Jeff.
Outstanding quality at a lower price with high quality promo.
You're getting a heck of a deal.
Discounted meat.
Just Matt, can you mute Jeff, please, for the rest of the show?
I don't know. Am I able to do that?
Probably. As the host, I think so. All right. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan Podcast. Also, make sure to check out our website, www.commonfan.co. We went to TS Web Services to build the site for us. You can trust TS Web Services to take your online presence to the next level. Their team was very responsive and delivered high-quality work. TS Web Services can help improve, redesign, or host your website. Check out tswebservices.com to learn more. Evan Bland, how are you tonight, my friend?
Hanging in. This is back-to-back road games. So got back from Columbus, Ohio, Sunday afternoon. Had a direct flight from Columbus to Omaha, which was luxury at its finest. And here we are on the brink of November and, Halloween, all that good stuff. Doing all right. How's everybody?
85 degrees, on the brink of
it's
November
hot.
Right now. Yeah, it's warm.
It's still grilling weather. Yeah,
it is. Absolutely. Well, it's never not grilling weather for me, TJ. Yep.
That's exactly right. Evan, was there a point on Saturday when you said to yourself, I think Nebraska's going to win this game?
Never when I thought they would win. I thought they could win, certainly. I mean, when you go ahead in the fourth quarter. But, man, have we not seen that movie play out so many times where the defense plays so well, they have a lead, they give up the lead, and then the offense has a chance, in this case two chances, doesn't convert. It's interesting because, like, that sequence of events Nebraska's had so many times in the last – handful of years, almost beating this team, almost beating that team. I always think of 21 Michigan as a great example, or Michigan State, More recently with the where they lost in overtime, but it felt different because of what happened at Indiana the week before, I think. Like, and we talked about it on this podcast, where like the game in Ohio State to me was a culture game, where if Nebraska was the team they were in Bloomington, it was going to get ugly, and that's why they were 25 and a half point underdogs. And if there was actually some guts to this team, if there was some substance and something more, then they would be, competitive. And whatever that means, we didn't know. But as it turns out, what it meant was winning the line of scrimmage. It meant having that lead late. It meant suddenly having a kicking game with John Hall making three field
Yeah.
goals, 54 yarder. So I think, you never celebrate a moral victory. It was a loss. Nebraska's 5-3 now. But I think it did show that this team has a formula that it can follow to win in November. The big question is, can they carry it over? But for an afternoon man in Columbus in the Horseshoe, that place was nervous. People were upset. That targeting call late in the game, I was on the field. We typically go down in the last like 3 to 4 minutes left in the game, and very nearly had a cheese cup hit me, dodged
Wow.
a beer bottle, or aluminum can or whatever. So there's some boorish behavior on the other side late. Ohio State doesn't lose these kind of games. They almost did. Maybe Nebraska can build on it. What did you guys think? I mean, watching that thing on TV, how did that thing play out to you?
I'll
Boys.
jump in. Going off of our last podcast, it was the most positive I think I've ever come off a loss ever, to be quite honest with you. I was actually in a good mood after the game, which is kind of a weird thing to
Yeah,
say.
same.
We lost, but I just wasn't down in the dumps. I felt like I kind of what you said there, Evan. It's like, did I think we were going to win the game? Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I did. When we had the lead, I thought maybe we had a chance to actually win in the game. So, but I just. It felt good to know that maybe we have that in us. And I didn't think that we had that in us. I think all of us thought going into that game after the Indiana performance that this was going to be a bust, especially after the way the game started. I mean, you couldn't draw up a worse start to that game than what we had. And the way that we bounced back, it gave me confidence that, hey, we're back at 0-0. We're starting over. We're starting fresh. So I'm happy with what I saw. Well, I guess we'll just see where it goes from here.
Yeah, I think that might have been the happiest I've been after a Husker loss, maybe in my entire lifetime. Because the week prior, like we're talking about like the coaching staff, and is this the right, are these guys the right guys for the job? Just like a season and a half into the Rhule era, like we're already talking about, and all it took was one humiliating loss. I didn't go that far, and we've covered that, I think, at length, but. To lose that bad and that embarrassingly, and then to come back and go blow for blow, toe to toe with a top five team in the country, I was just ecstatic. And even when it got to the point where like I can honestly say I never really thought we would close the deal and win, but it was I kind of felt like who cares? Like we've taken it's like the first Rocky, right? Like Rocky. Hit spoiler alert if you haven't seen it yet. I don't know what's wrong with you if you haven't, but. Rocky doesn't win, right? But he goes the
What?
length. He goes, what do they call it? What do you
That
he goes rounds.
movie sounds stupid.
Yeah. Anyway, I felt really good about it. Like Jeff said, I almost didn't even feel like we lost. It was kind of like, I would equate
No.
it to a feeling like you beat somebody that you were supposed to beat, but it wasn't like pretty or something like that. Kind of a similar feeling, I think, coming out of that one.
I really had no expectation that we would win. And my biggest concern after Indiana was a second consecutive blowout loss. And what impact does that have on the team? And I feel like, let's say we had played Indiana close or beat Indiana or played them close or whatever, I think people would have stomached a blowout against Ohio State much better, much easier. They wouldn't have liked it, but it would be like, well, it's Ohio State's number four team in the country. They're really good this year,
We have an
whatever.
out there.
Yeah, right. But it's like since it had just happened and they looked awful against Indiana, it was like, oh, geez, if this happens again, then I'm with you, Matty O. Like, I guess I was all over the map, but there was a feeling of like, you got to question everything after Indiana. And there was a lot of that from the fan base. And that was certainly understandable. And at the very least, it was kind of like, maybe we're not as far along as we thought. Maybe they aren't who we thought they were, kind of thing. And so my thought was just give the team something to believe in. Let them walk away with something. And the way I thought about that was, if we lose by 3 touchdowns, maybe just let it be tied at halftime. And it doesn't get out of hand until late or something like that. And it kind of felt like that could happen even at halftime, because at 14-6, we had made 2 field goals, which sort of felt lucky because we don't make field goals. And they had missed a field goal. And it kind of already felt like we're barely hanging on, like they might pull. But even then I thought, okay, we've showed some fight. We've done enough here. That I think they could have something to build off of. And then, man, we forced a 3 and out. We kick a field goal to make it 14-9. We get the pick. It's like getting later and later in the third quarter, and it's a ball game. It's a dogfight. And suddenly it felt like this thing's going to the wire. And even when we got the lead, there was over 10 minutes left, and it was like, there's just way too much time left. Like, this is just, I don't know. But so yeah, I'm with you, Mattio. I think I briefly allowed myself to say, man, it would be so awesome to win this. Like, just briefly think about, imagine the headlines, imagine the jubilation, imagine Husker Nation, like just all the things. But I never really kind of let myself believe that it was actually going to happen.
The only reason I did is because of what Evan brought up earlier of the angry crowd, and when they would show shots of the crowd with their head down, hanging over the wall, or throwing stuff on the field, like I was like, oh, these people are down and they are not looking good. And I've seen that look before from Husker fan. I've seen that look from a Notre Dame fan when their back's against the wall and they do lose. And I thought in my head, I'm like, this might actually happen. It didn't happen, but another way I looked at it is, hell, it could have been worse. So,
Yeah, and like historically, you look at it too, like that would have been on the short list of the biggest upsets in program history. I
oh,
think
for
probably the
sure.
gold standard's 1959 Oklahoma when they ended their, incredibly long conference streak. But really, other Nebraska wins came when they were at the height of their power. You think about 01 Nebraska Oklahoma when they were able to win that game. Oklahoma was highly rated, but so was Nebraska. I mean, the Huskers were 25 and a half point underdogs in that game. So it wasn't like people locally were the only ones down on them. Like the Vegas experts thought this would not be close. Ohio State's largely rumored to have the first or second most expensive roster in college football at $20 million plus dollars in NIL money. And so, like, there just wasn't a lot that you could look at going into this game and think Nebraska could hang. The thing that I thought Nebraska might have the advantage in was its defensive line against Ohio State's offensive line. You had Ty Robinson and Nash and Jamari Butler. Like that's a senior talented group against an O-line in Ohio State that incidentally was breaking in a new left tackle because their longtime starter had suffered an injury. And Butler took advantage of that time and again. They were able to get to Will Howard a handful of times. Really, on those third and shorts and fourth and shorts, like Nebraska had that advantage in the trenches. And you think about the key moment late in the game, Nebraska is ahead, Ohio State's driving, fourth and two, they go for it. And what do? They don't sneak it, they don't run it up the middle. They throw a quick little pass in the flat and they barely get the first down on the edge. And then they score a few plays later. But like that to me was illustrative of like Ohio State does not believe anymore that they can just run right at Nebraska and get that first down. So they did it. They won it. You credit the Buckeyes for doing it. But like, man, does that show you that Nebraska did have an advantage in that game? They pounded it time and again, and it just almost was one of those just watershed moments in modern program history.
Love it.
Question. I have a question. I heard this today. So, Evan, I'm curious to hear what you think. So, I was driving to work and they were playing some clips from some of the things that Rhule said at some of the press conferences after the game. And one thing he brought up was the way they showed up against Ohio State, knowing that they can do that, and how he was proud of them that they were up and they stepped up for that game. But then he asked him afterwards, like, so what happened with the Indiana game? What happened there then, do you think? And the one thing he said to the players, I think, was it proves that you play the team, don't play the logo, is what he was saying. And that's awesome. That speaks to me as just a common fan. Like, that's a great quote. Do you think, is he nonchalantly just kind of admit that, hey, we might have just been looking past Indiana and maybe that's why the blowout happened? Or are they really that good? I'm just curious to hear what you think.
I think there's something to that. Some of the players that spoke on Tuesday also mentioned something in that vein about this idea that, like, you can't take a team lightly. And I mean, heck, Indiana has no real football history to speak of. And so some of that's a reflection of just the modern era of college football with the portal and NIL and just how quickly you can flip things. Because, I mean, again, like, Indiana hasn't done anything. And now they're undefeated. They have yet to trail in any game still this year. They're a odds-on favorite to make the CFP. Like, it's pretty amazing. So Nebraska overlooked the Hoosiers. But on the flip side, they did not wilt against Ohio State and that logo. And I think some of the language today was, hey, don't play the logo, play the man in front of you. So, like, there's going to be a guy on the other side. And, yeah, like, if you talk about what you can take from this game – I think some players did reflect afterwards and then here this week that, like, they hung with Ohio State. And Ohio State, like, statistically, is top 10 in a bunch of major categories. You know, they're still one of the better teams in college football right now. And Nebraska just proved that they can go into their house and hang and come down to the wire with those guys. And they didn't finish it. But, like, I do think the confidence that can be gained from that can carry over to UCLA, can carry over to, you know, the big bads in Wisconsin and Iowa that have had Nebraska's number. Like, I do think there's a swagger there. Knock on wood, they're relatively healthy compared to a lot of teams in the Big Ten right now. And so we'll see. That's the great mystery with Nebraska. We saw their lowest point of the season 2 weeks ago. We saw maybe their second highest point outside of Colorado last week. What about next week?
That's what I'm saying.
Does the yo-yo continue or is there some upward progression here? That's the big question.
Don't play that logo. Do not look past them.
But Evan mentioned Ohio State was favored by 25.5. If you, common fan listeners, loaded up on Nebraska plus 25.5 and got yourself a big payday, just go ahead and email us, commonfangbr@gmail.com. Send us your story. We might even send you a free pair of socks. But we're proud of you. We're proud of you for sticking by the Huskers. And if you won that bet, you deserve to win that bet.
Thank you, TJ.
I wasn't thinking about you at all there, Matty.
Oh, no. On behalf of the common fans that you just thanked, I was just for them.
Go ahead and send us an email, Matt. Tell us your story.
You bet.
It's funny, guys. Go ahead, Evan. Go ahead.
Oh, I want to ask you guys, because I was at the game. I had a sense of some of the officiating issues, but I think if you're watching it on TV, it was more profound.
Yeah.
Like, what was that like in real time going through that? Did you feel like the broadcast handled that well? Like, how emotional did that make you? Like, what was that experience like relative to other games you've had when you just talk about the officiating?
I thought the broadcast was mostly impartial. There was one I didn't agree with the offensive pass interference calls, and one of them, I think Klatt said it wasn't OPI. The other one, he like embellished it, like he's like, oh, Banks put two hands on him and pushed off of him, and it wasn't that at all. They both were, you know, kind of hand fighting with each other. But those are the only two I can really think of. They were about the spot thing with Emmett Johnson. They were all over that.
Klatt was losing his mind, and he was like, they just completely missed the spot. And then he was like, that was, and then the OPI in that same series, he was like, that was not offensive pass interference. These are two things that now it's pushing Nebraska out of field goal range. He even made a comment about sort of every week in college football, there's a wide range of what gets called for pass interference, and they've got to do something about this. So I feel like he definitely indulged the Husker fan rage in that moment.
He did.
You know, and I feel like my kids are, when we play basketball or football, they're always like, that's a penalty. That's a penalty. Like, I feel like there's too much of that in our right. culture and right. our sports fandom. But like, it's probably good for ratings to indulge some of that stuff sometimes, right? Or like, it's really annoying as a fan when an official misses something and they don't talk about it at all, or they like don't acknowledge it, right?
When the holding, like when you see the holding on TV, like when I'm sitting there watching on TV and can see like the one where Jamari Butler got like bulldogged, Oh, around
it's
his head.
headlocked. Yeah.
Like he was for sure getting to Howard there, getting a sack if that guy doesn't do that. And then that whole like bizarre holding statistic for Nebraska opponents like comes back out into the light. It's like something like I think 9 times since 2011 in away games. That's the only holding penalty. We've got 9 holding penalties on our opponents in away games since 2011. And like one of them was like against Purdue, and there was 4 times in a Purdue game. The rest are all like there was one in 2011, there was one in 2013, or whatever it is. But that stat is just baffling.
Yeah.
Like I don't know how Husker fans, I don't know how common fans can't feel like the Big Ten is just like out to get Nebraska when
And
you
the
see it, when you see a
I think most
statistic
of them
like
do.
that.
We know this. We know this. They're out to get us. They hate us. They want to hold us down, and that's their problem. We're not gonna let them do that, right, guys?
That's right. No, we all the college football industrial complex has never liked Nebraska, and
It's true.
you know they hate us for our success, but you know we just have to play that much better. It was I will say, Evan, to answer your question, like you could also if you're watching the game and paying attention, you could see most like it wasn't hard to miss. So a lot of the holding calls were obvious. The sort of defensive holding that wasn't called on Ja'Cory Barney. On the second to last drive, I think it was the second to last on that third down play on the second to last drive,
Oh yeah.
which kind of made the difference, you know, in the play, really. Those were all pretty clear to see. I think sometimes, like you said, like Matty O said, Klatt kind of embellished on one of them, and then other times they just don't comment on it, or like I think on that one they were like, oh, so and so might have gotten away with a little hold there,
Yeah.
and as a fan in the moment, you want them to be as outraged as you are. But it really wasn't. They're gonna have. I feel like I think we talked about this on a previous episode. But college football, the Big Ten, whatever it is, they're gonna have to. Like, there's so much money coming in, and we all have to sit there through 17 hours of commercials every game so that this money can be coming in. And they're gonna have to figure something out. And I don't know
Yeah.
what that means. Like, I don't know if you make an if you can't pay an official a full-time salary to officiate 12 games every fall. I understand that, but. You know, they're gonna have to do something. It's terrible. It's all it's as it feels like it's as bad as it's ever been.
Yeah. And I think in the NFL too, like it's not just like I've seen some really awful calls in the NFL, and it's just like what is going on in the officiating world
Well,
right
and
now?
the hardest part is when they go to review it. You know what? I thought about this, guys. One thing we didn't talk about in our recap episode was early, like the first drive, maybe, or the second, not the first drive, that was a disaster. Like the second or third
Yeah, we don't
drive,
talk about that.
that catch, I think it was Nair. Was it Nair? There,
Oh
I didn't think
yeah.
there was not enough to overturn that in my, but they called it a catch on the field. And it was one of those where you could maybe argue the ball had touched the ground, but it still looked like he had a good portion of his hand under it.
Under it.
It certainly wasn't one of those where it like bounced off the
It
ground,
wasn't clear. No, it
it
wasn't clear as
wasn't. It
day. Made the catch,
Yeah,
right?
it wasn't nearly enough to overturn, in my opinion. Or some of the spots, like why it's under 2 minutes in the first half, they should have automatically reviewed the Emmett Johnson spot or the Jalen
The Jalen
Lloyd
Lloyd one, yeah,
third
should have
down
been like
play
the half
at the
yard
goal
line.
line. Should have
Yeah.
been another yard or more closer to the goal line. Like again, maybe Rule could have challenged that. They've got to come up with a way where, you know, and Evan, I think you brought this up. Maybe you can get a. Maybe they take off the limits on what can and can't be challenged, and you get three or four a game where you say, I don't know how they do it, right? Or you know, maybe they automatically review a little bit more. You got to be mindful of game time and all these things. And there's overall, like it's got to be better on the field too. So I don't, I Rule was, I actually identified with what Rule said when he said, I don't envy, I can't remember how he said it, but he said, it's hard to be an official. And like, I can't, I don't want, I wouldn't, I don't know why anybody would want that job. It's got to be impossible, but certainly they've got to figure out a way to do it better than they're doing it.
Well, he also mentioned he slipped this in that last year Nebraska had 3 replay reviews that went against them that the next day on Sunday the Big Ten said we were wrong. Like that's the maddening part is like it's not even just the call on the field, it's then the protocol that plays out that still gets you screwed in that regard. And Rule also mentioned he has 2 unsportsmanlike conduct penalties against him this year. He said in both cases, the league had come back and said, You shouldn't have been penalized. What you did was not up to the standard of what that should be. And you contrast that with Ryan Day late in that game when he throws a sad set, when he is on the field, when he does make contact inadvertently, I guess, with an official, and they give you a sideline warning, no penalty yardage, incurred in that one. So, like, that's the frustrating part too, is it's not just the judgment calls, the subjective sequences. It's like, it's the spot. It's the replay reviews that, again, you get these apologies on Sunday, but it doesn't change the outcome of the game. It doesn't change how things went. And there's no public transparent accountability. These referees, these officials are not conducting interviews with media. They're not held accountable in any public way. And I think that's where a lot of that frustration comes in too. And as you mentioned, there's so much money, so much, at stake, people's careers, that you just want to get these things right. And if you can't get it right in the moment, you want to get these things right on review. And it just hasn't been up to the level that we need it to be at.
Do they
It
do
feels like
like the training for these guys? Sorry, Jeff. It feels like
No,
the
that's fine.
training for these guys happens like once a year at a convention, at a Comfort Inn in Sioux Falls or something. And they come in for about a day and a half, and they get a nice reception with rubber shrimp and different things like that. But it's like they're not spending nearly enough time, and there's not enough consistency, there's not enough training overall. Like they're not they the continental breakfast is not nearly good enough at the Comfort Inn. Like they're
It's
just they need to be doing a lot more things.
no La Quinta, I'll tell you that much right now.
I bet you will, Jeff. Sorry, you were gonna ask a question.
No, I was curious. I don't know, like the behind, are there ever, do they ever have like, when you say accountability, do they do reviews on officials? Like, I have no idea how that works. Like, if you have a really bad call, do they keep a track record of that? Like, for instance, if I was a referee and I kept just missing calls and blowing calls, eventually you would think there would be some sort of, repercussions for that. I'm just curious. Not saying that they have to do that, but I don't even know how it works.
I don't know all the inner workings. I know the league does evaluate its officials on certain calls. But I don't know, like, what's the threshold for, like, how many mistakes you can make or how egregious it can be before there's some sort of consequence for that.
Like a
I don't
three
know. Maybe
strikes and you're out kind of deal.
it's like you're a Supreme Court justice. Once you're in, like, you're in for life. I'm
There
not
you go.
sure.
I was going to say it's like a sandwich punch card, like a demerit.
You get
There
10. A demerit
we
card, yeah.
go.
Jim, that's three bad calls thus far.
All right,
Give
you're
me your
out.
demerit card.
But there's no consequences. It doesn't, I mean, there, you
Yeah,
know, like
doesn't
it sound like doesn't
it.
seem like, yeah,
Not that we know of.
nobody's getting benched for the next game, and
Yeah.
nor
I
that
would say
official.
quick, like, and Rule mentioned this too, 20, I don't know that officiating is actually worse. I just think there's more of a light on it because
For
every
sure.
game's televised, every
Yeah.
game's high def, every game you can look at social media and see it replayed over and over again. The athletes themselves are faster and more explosive than they've ever been because of modern, physiological science and all this. And so, like, I do think that plays into it probably more than these guys don't know what they're doing. Like, I
Yeah.
think it's a really hard problem. As you said, TJ, like, it's I wouldn't ever do it. Like, it just seems like it's a no-win situation. You're gonna get roasted
Yeah.
every time out. You're everything you do is exposed on national TV. So you empathize for them, but at the same time, you can't just let that be an excuse. You got to figure out a way to make this thing better, to streamline it more.
I mean, Evan's out there. He didn't even do anything, and people are launching cheese sauce at him and shit. I mean,
They were. It
yeah.
was a full cheese cup. What a
So Evan,
waste.
you're saying it may
What a
not be,
waste indeed.
it may not be worse. So what you're saying is it's always sucked. That's what you're saying. It's just more people are
It's always
noticing
been
it.
terrible.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean,
Yeah.
I think
Strong
it
truth.
has been what it's been, and it just there's more light shed on it because there's 30 camera angles. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I think
Yeah.
so.
Yeah. All right, Evan, what do we know about UCLA coming to town? I saw today, I was just doing a little research and I noticed they are dead last in rushing offense in the entire country.
Yeah, and their head coach was a star running back himself, DeShaun
Yeah.
Foster, back in the day. I mean, UCLA, I don't think there was a ton of expectation for that team coming in 2-5. You know, probably their most attention-grabbing result was Rutgers 2 weeks ago when they did go east and they won that thing and they scored, I think it was 35 points to do it. So that gets your attention. Their quarterback, Ethan Garbers, has drawn a ton of praise from Nebraska coaches this week. Gets the ball out quick. He's accurate, knows what he's doing. He was kind of banged up earlier in the year, but it kind of looks like they're getting healthier. Obviously, the bye week plays into that. But you know, it's a team. I think Ty Robinson said this on Tuesday. He said it's a dangerous team because they really don't have all that much to lose. They're on the brink of not being in contention for a bowl game. And you know, first year coach, they're going to come to Lincoln and there's just not going to be a ton on the line for them. And we've seen what that looked like a year ago with teams like Michigan State after they'd fired their coach, with Maryland, which didn't have a ton to play for. And sometimes those teams are the tough ones, man, because you just don't know if they're going to follow their script, if they're going to try something new. It does look like they are getting healthier. Certainly, statistically, you would see that you would think that Nebraska should have the advantage in the trenches. But again, I think it's a combination of you don't know what UCLA is going to bring, but you also don't know what Nebraska team you're going to get. Are you going to get the uptight team that's worried about getting win number six and knows that it doesn't want to upset a fan base? Or are you going to get the team that plays loose and says, hey, I'm going to dominate my man and not worry about the logo? Like there's a lot of curiosity there, but I kind of wish it'd be like, it would have been like 40 degrees and like windy. Cause UCLA players really aren't used to that. That would have been kind of fun to see, but
It's gonna be
should be
raining, I think,
pretty,
though.
should be a good game. I think these are two programs that are growing in their own ways. And you'd think Nebraska would have the edge, but I think it depends on how much you trust them. How much do you guys trust that Nebraska is kind of what we just saw?
I
Well,
don't.
go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
No, I was thinking about this today. I haven't really looked at UCLA's schedule, and for the love of God, man, I mean, they have had like the murderer's row of teams that they've played. So their record, rightfully so, is probably where it should be. I mean, they played Indiana, LSU, Oregon, Penn State, all in a row, and it looks like all we need to do, according to this, I think, is we just need to score more than 17 points. If our offense can put up more than 17 points, I think we're going to be okay, just judging by the numbers that I'm seeing here. But man, they're one of those teams where I just don't know, based on their schedule, are they terrible or are they just had that bad of a run against some really, really good teams?
Here's what I was thinking about today, guys. Like, Nebraska needs to win this game. Like, if Ohio State truly was a turning point, like it's suddenly not a turning point if you turn around and lose to UCLA. And Rhule said that in the post-game press conference. He challenged them to go do it next week, right? And I know they've been inconsistent, and we, to your point is spot on, Evan. We don't know which team is going to show up. But like, Nebraska is the home team. Nebraska is favored. UCLA is the worst rushing offense in the country. Nebraska has one of the best rushing defenses in the country. So you would think they shouldn't have too much of a problem neutralizing the run game, which means they can make them one-dimensional. And like, you would think they can kind of play suffocating defense throughout. I don't care who they play. I don't care if they're playing with, like, Nebraska needs to get past this point. And I know that this what this whole battle is, and this whole season, the theme about learning how to win and all that. So maybe I'm just sick of it. But we have to get past this point where it's like, well, which team's going to show up and this, that, and the other. You got your second to last home game of the year, a chance to be bowl eligible against a team that's in the bottom three of the Big Ten, probably, at least based on current results. There's no reason to lose this game. There's no excuse.
For sure.
There's no excuse not to show up. There's no excuse not to dominate, at least in the trenches. Maybe not the final score doesn't look like, look, I get it could be a close game or something. You got to win this game. I'm so tired of, like, last year, okay, the offense was anemic. We had all these injuries. We didn't, it was first year head coach. We're past all that. We're past all that. If we, like, Indiana was a setback. Ohio State was a bummer. But really the only bad outing this year has been Indiana. I want to believe that. I'm gonna go ahead and believe that was an anomaly and say, like, the trajectory is upward. We've been talking about it all season long. You win this game. You get to 6-3. You got a lot to play for still, and winnable games left on the calendar. Matty, go ahead.
No, it's we said it in our recap for the Ohio State game. Nebraska can win the last four. They can. Will they?
Will
I don't know. They probably drop one or two, but this is your best chance to get win six, right? There's no question about that. This is your best chance to get bowl eligible is on Saturday against UCLA. There are a lot of guys in that locker room who have never been to a bowl game. I don't know about the transfer guys, but even the older, like the Ty Robinsons and Nash Hutmachers and Isaac Giffords, have never been to a bowl game. So that, I don't know if that's even going to be on their minds. I think the coaching staff probably is going to like just say no. It's just go out and beat UCLA, but it's got to be creep. It has to have crept in there a little bit, like the importance of this Saturday, right? I think it's a must win. As much as I hate to say that against a 2-6 team, but it's a must win, really. I think also not just to get the sixth win and get bowl eligible, but to show that last week was who they really are and springboard them on to the final three, right?
But I think it's a mu and I think it's a must win because of that record,
Yes.
Mateo. Like because
Yes.
we feel like we've progressed to the point where we should be beating 2 and 5 teams, right? And like they're like we are favored. They haven't been very good. They're coming to Lincoln. These are the games we're supposed to start winning now.
Yeah.
Not next year, not the year after that. Now. Like that's why it's a must win. And
Yeah.
let's get the bowl monkey off our back and we're playing the rest. Let's go to UC, let's
Yeah.
go to USC with some house money,
Yeah.
boys.
You
Let's
celebrate a
go to
little
LA with
bit.
some house money.
Saturday night, you celebrate a little bit. We're going bowling. Now hey, you know what? Let's go. Let's get after it. We'll take a week off, heal up, bowl bye week, and
Bye week
then
coming
let's
up.
go.
Leave nothing to chance. Leave everything out on the field.
Yeah.
And we're gonna have.
I don't think you can undersell what that would mean though, too. Like just that's been over the program for a long time, the bowl
Oh,
thing, right?
yeah.
Like yeah,
Every
it's
damn broadcast they will go ahead and put they want to go ahead and
for
put it up there.
sure.
Yeah.
So like when
Flag.
you start talking about like trying to shed some of these things that have been anchoring down the program, like you think of that, you think about now 27 in a row losses against top 25 teams, you think about the overtime streak. But like the bowl, like that, if you want to talk about progress and taking a step forward, like that's tangible progress. You get that extra month of practices, you get the extra game, you have a chance to take momentum into the off season. Like it's really not a small thing. And like it kind of gets lost a little bit, I think, in like the trajectory of the season and like what Nebraska could still like what its ceiling could be. But like I think you can't make a big enough deal about what that would be to like get that narrative out of there. 'Cause that's part of the thing that these guys deal with all the time is like nothing's good enough. The past sort of weighs you down a little bit. And if you can just move on from that piece of history, like I do think that it can make a difference. And nobody wants to talk about it. I asked Matt Rhule a couple
I
weeks
do.
ago about hypothetically what it would mean to win number six. And he's like, I don't even want to go there. He's like, a year ago I went there. And then we went over November and it didn't happen. So like even he's kind of tiptoeing around it a little bit to the point to where I think it just needs they need to get the win. It can be a cathartic moment and you can just move on.
Yeah.
I really do. And like the whole November thing during that drought, 5-22 record in the month of November, like win some
Yeah.
games in
Yeah. Yeah.
November, win some games. And like this is their chance to do it. I think they can.
I
Well,
think
I got a prediction, guys. I
they're
got a
built
prediction.
for it too. I think they're built for it,
Got a
right? The
prediction.
way that like
Yeah.
with being tough in the trenches. Like I'd love to say, the way we pound the rock on offense, but maybe that's going to come along too. They did a little bit better with against Ohio State with that, but defensively, man, they sure are built well for November.
I think, go ahead, Jeff.
The only thing I was going to say is for a team where we still aren't 100% sure which team is going to show up, I feel like getting, again, the bull monkey off your back for if they're as fragile as maybe we think they might be from week to week, that certainly would be something I think that would be a game changer for the rest of the season is just checking that shit off
Yeah.
the list.
Yeah. Let's
Totally.
not worry about that anymore. Let's go. Let's just go play.
Let's go play football.
I'm going to throw something out there, guys. I think they're going to play one of their best games of the season. I think they're going to win handily
Good
on
for
Saturday.
you. I love it.
I'm not saying it's going to be mistake free. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect. I'm not saying we're going to make every field goal, but I think like they're going to come. I think the defense is going to be swarming and suffocating. I think we're going to run the ball pretty well against these guys, and the offense will be functional. And I think in the end, we're going to win by double digits. That's what
Do
I
you
think.
want to know why that is, TJ? You want to know why that is? Because the common fan tailgate is going to rally the troops, and that stadium is going to be rocking that day. I'll tell you that much right now.
The common fan tailgate. I forgot to bring it up yet again at the beginning. Come
That's
hang out
why.
with us. Come hang out with us in Lot 10. We're going to be in the northwest corner of Lot 10 on W Street between 14th and 16th. We're going to have burgers and brats from Certified Piedmontese. We're going to have some Chick-fil-A. We're going to have some beer from White Elm Brewery in Lincoln. We got all kinds of fun stuff. We're going to have some games, some fun and frivolity, and of course, we're going to have the common fans,
It's gonna be
which.
great.
Want to hang out with the common fans. So come tailgate with us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for bringing that up, Jeff.
I'll do my
Evan, well,
best.
do you want to proffer a prediction for Saturday, or can you not do that yet?
No, I mean, I think Nebraska will win. I think, again, like there's some trust issues here that we're
Yeah.
all working through. Like, are they in the circle of trust? I don't know. I don't think so. But all the matchups favor Nebraska. It feels to me like it's going to be a lower scoring game, kind of a, 24 to 14 type of game.
Be thrilled with that.
I mean, I do. I just, UCLA is they haven't shown a ton necessarily. I think that Rutgers game was more a product of Rutgers being really banged up than anything.
Sure.
Although it was out there in Piscataway, which it does kind of get your attention a little bit, but
Do they go to the games in Piscataway though?
what's that?
Does anybody go to those games in Piscataway? I mean, is it really a home field advantage?
That Rutgers is one of my favorite Big Ten trips, if I'm being honest. I think those Jersey folks, they know how to party out there. It kind of felt like it was a
Yeah.
night
Paulie
game in
Walnuts and
22.
Tony Soprano. It
What do you
felt like
know?
it
What do you
was,
say?
they kept playing Timmy Trumpet like on remix over and over. You felt like you were in a dance club or something. It was pretty cool. They threw some corn on the cob on the field after the game because they were irked that Nebraska won. And but
Nice.
it's right by New York. You can go over into Manhattan, and so I don't know. I liked it quite a bit. But the point being, I think Rutgers was maybe a little bit banged up there. But yes, I would feel better about Nebraska if not for the history, if not for how last year went out, played out. But yes, there's every reason to think they should win this game. And that's the fun of this month, guys. It's like you can make a case that they could go 4-0. You could make the case that they go 0-4. And like anything in that range is possible. And that's why we watch and why it's fun and why there's so much yet to be determined with this team.
If they play like they showed against Ohio State, they're winning three or four games, I think.
Hope
But
so.
that's a big F.
Agreed.
That's a big F. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, any final thoughts, gentlemen? Matt, Jeff, any final questions for Evan?
No, I think I just I if we're giving a prediction or anything like that, like I said, we just need to score more than 17 points, judging by the scores I've seen. So give me, I'm gonna say 28 to 17. That's my
So,
score.
Jeff, would you say we just need to score more points than UCLA? Is that
Yes,
the kind of
exactly right. We need to
okay?
score more points than
This
they
is
do.
tried
Yep.
and true method. I mean, you
Yeah,
got
it
to
really is.
strategy.
Yep.
Now we're all going.
Usually
We are.
works.
All right,
Usually works.
are we doing predictions,
I mean,
Jeff?
we
Sure.
just.
We
I mean,
doing predictions?
Evan said 24-14, right? Jeff's
Yep.
20. What'd you say? 28-17.
28-17.
I don't think they're going to score that much. I'm
That's
going to
good
say
call, too.
20. I'm going to say 27-10.
Okay.
I'll stick with it. I was gonna 31 to 10. I was gonna say 31 to 10. I
Love
don't
it.
think UCLA is gonna be able to do much on offense. And I think we're gonna like have some frustrating, screenplays or something like that. But I think we'll hit a few big plays. Maybe we'll get a defensive touchdown. Like I think we'll see more of the offense like we saw against Colorado or Illinois or some of those early games. I think we'll see a little bit more of that.
Hope so.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I hope so
dude.
too.
Very well could be. TJ, when's the last time you saw a game in person?
Iowa last year?
Iowa
Last year,
last
Iowa
year?
last year. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know
we
why
were
they
all
just
there.
came
You
here.
guys were all there last year?
We were all at
Yeah.
Iowa last year. It
Okay.
was about
All right.
high of about 24 degrees. It was
It was
great.
chilly.
Nice and
great. Yeah.
chilly.
Yep. Yeah,
Crisp.
for the common fans who don't know, most of the listeners should know at this point, but I don't. I grew up in Lincoln. I no longer live in the state. I married an Oregon girl, and I live in Oregon currently. But I get back, Evan, to answer your question more directly. I get back for about a game a year, and then sometimes I'm also able to mix in an away game too.
There you go.
So living in Oregon, it's not that hard to get to USC. I was kind of had that one circled. I don't think it's in the cards this year. We've just had a lot of other travel as a family so far this year, but I'm putting a pin on UCLA in 2025, guys. We're all meeting at UCLA in 2025, and Evan will let us into the press box and we can watch the game from there.
I can throw down some free food if you want.
I know you can. I know you
That
can.
sounds great.
Yep.
I wonder what they're serving at the Rose Bowl.
Don't have any idea. Dodger dogs left over from the World Series. I
That
don't
would be kind of
know.
cool. That'd be
Again,
kind of
going
cool.
back, I like a good cup of cheese and a pretzel. I can't believe they were wasting cheese like that, Evan. That really
Oh
offends me.
wow.
I'm just getting emotional thinking about it now. All the cheese flying from the stands.
It had to be
That's something I'm gonna
traumatic.
have to work through personally, I
Yeah.
think.
I
Yep.
could see Evan like diving on the ground, like, no, the cheese,
Not the
the
cheese. What do you do with the cheese?
cheese.
What about the cheese?
Wake up in a cold sweat thinking about that pretzel
Yeah.
that was never dipped.
Yeah.
That guy that was just
Just
eating the
that
raw,
dry,
yeah,
salty
salty
pretzel.
pretzel. Sociopath.
Oh, Jeff, you and your weird food opinions. I love it so
They're not
much.
weird, they're normal.
All
Get on board.
right, common fans. Come see us on Saturday in
Hell
Lot
yeah.
10. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to hang out with you. Huskers are going to roll this weekend. In less than a week, we're going to be celebrating bowl eligibility for the first time in almost a decade. Can't wait. Things are about to, it's been a rough couple of weeks, but the worm is about to turn, common fans. Thanks for hanging with us. We'll be back at you soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.